If you would turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start with a verse here for our lesson this morning. Toward the end of November, our country celebrates a Thanksgiving holiday where it's a time to reflect on various reasons that we have to be thankful. Now, of course, we know as Christians, we are to be thankful at all times. But this is a good reminder for us. It's a good reminder for our society that we live in, that we do need to be thankful for what we have. You know, a few years ago, I preached a series of lessons leading up to Thanksgiving on the reasons that we have to be thankful. And it's important that we recognize the blessings that we have and the many reasons we have to be thankful. But what I want to do this morning and over the next couple of weeks is approach it from a little bit of a different angle. In that series 3 years ago, we talked about the different blessings that we had and reasons that we had to be thankful. But in this series of lessons, I want us to consider how gratefulness, how being grateful, how being thankful, how that impacts our behavior, it impacts what we do. So it's not so much what it is that we have to be thankful for, though we do need to think about that. But this is about how that affects what we do and how that affects the way that we conduct ourselves. And in this first lesson, we're going to be considering how gratitude affects the way that we serve God. And that's talked about here in our text in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, where the Hebrew writer says, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." He talked about there in that verse, serving God acceptably. Well, how can we serve God acceptably? He says you have to do that with gratitude. We have to show gratitude, and by which, by this, by showing gratitude, we can then offer to God acceptable service with reverence and awe. Gratitude has to be part of this, and we'll talk about the reason for that as we go in our lesson. But to start with, I want us to think about that idea of serving God. Why is it important that we are serving God? Why is this a necessity? Well, Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission to his apostles in Matthew chapter 28, told them that all authority had been given to him in heaven and on earth, there in Matthew 28 and verse 18. And so because of that, they were to go out and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he said in verse 20, "You teach them to observe all that I commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus has all authority. So his apostles were to go out and to teach others. They make disciples of others, baptize them, and then teach them to observe whatever the Lord commanded. This is part of what it means to be a disciple. That we are following the teachings of Christ. We're following what he has instructed us to do. And if we want to claim Jesus as our Lord, then this is going to be a necessity. Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Jesus has all authority. We have to do what he commanded. If we want to say that, well, he is our Lord, we believe that he is the Lord, that means we have to obey him. We have to do what he has instructed us to do. Also, we can look over in 1 John chapter 5 and see that obeying God is necessary if we're going to say that we love God. A lot of people out in the world will say that they love God, but there's a way that we show that. 1 John 5 and verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." The love of God, how we demonstrate the love of God, is by keeping his commandments. And then John adds there, it says, his commandments are not burdensome. That means that his instructions for us are not unreasonable. He has not told us to do anything that we are incapable of doing. We can do what he wants us to do. We are able to do this, and he has given us his word, shown us what we are to do. And then in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, the Hebrew writer said over there that having been made perfect, he's referring to Jesus here, having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. How is it that we can be saved? Well, we have to obey the Lord. He is the source of salvation for those who obey him. So Jesus has all authority. So we are to be taught to observe everything that he has commanded. We show love for him by keeping his commandments. We obtain the way of salvation, that eternal salvation, through obeying him. So serving God is a necessity. Well, going back to that passage we looked at in Hebrews chapter 12, where it says that we show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service, how does gratitude affect this? How is it that we, when we obey God, but we do so with gratitude, how does that affect our behavior and our attitude? Well, if we have this gratitude, this attitude of thankfulness, we are thankful to God that he has given us his word to show us how to please him. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 105, that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We recognize that we have the need to serve God, but we wouldn't know how to do that if he didn't give us his word. So we are thankful that he has given us his word, that he's shown us the direction that we are to take. And we have everything that we need in his word. He's not left anything out, not left something unsaid, or left us to try to figure out what he wants and has not told us. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, that the scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction and training, so that we may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Everything that we need to do to please God, he's shown us in his word. He's instructed us how to do it. He's commanded us to do it. He's shown us examples of how this is to be done. He's left a pattern for us in his word. He has given us everything that we need. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 says, everything pertaining to life and godliness has been given to us. We're not left with something missing. We're not left to wonder what it is that we need to do to please God. We know that we need to serve God, but we don't know how to do that. No, we have everything that we need. So we are thankful to God for his word. We are grateful for all the trouble and the hardship that we avoid by following his will. The wise man said in Proverbs 13 and verse 15 that the way of the treacherous, or the way of the transgressor, is hard. Now, there are a lot of difficulties that people face in life because of what they have done wrong. And we all do things that are contrary to God's will. We all have sinned. And sometimes there are consequences for that. We face difficulties in this life, but as Christians, we can also say that we've avoided a lot of trouble that the people in the world face, because we avoid the sins that they just, that's part of their life, that they just get caught up in, and they think that that's just how life is. And they end up with all sorts of trouble in this life, with broken homes and broken marriages and financial trouble and all sorts of things that happen, injuries and things that happen to them because they did not follow what God's word says, but instead they've given themselves over to the ways of the world. Sin has negative consequences that come with it. We are always going to be better off following God's way. Jeremiah 10:23 tells us the way of man is not in himself. It's not a man who walks to direct his steps. If we are simply relying on what we have figured out, or what we think is best, or what the world around us has told us, well, this is what you ought to do. If we're relying on that, then we're going to find ourselves in trouble. We're going to find ourselves in sin and suffering the consequences for that. Amen. But we are grateful. We can be grateful to God because even though we face trouble in this life, we avoid a lot of unnecessary trouble by following what his word teaches us to do. We also recognize, going over to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, we recognize that we are unworthy slaves as we serve Him. Jesus said in Luke 17, in verse 10, He says, "You too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, 'We are unworthy slaves, we have done only that which we ought to have done.'" We recognize that even though we are diligently trying to serve God, and we are trying to do everything that He has instructed us to do, we are still grateful to Him and humbled before Him, because we know we're not earning anything. We don't earn salvation. We don't earn His favor. The favor that He bestows upon us is still a gift by His grace. Romans chapter 6 talks about how we are obedient to that form of teaching that He has given us, that we are slaves of righteousness. But even then, He said in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We recognize that no matter how diligently we try to serve God, no matter, even if we can say, as Jesus said in Luke 17:10, we do everything that is told of us to do, even then we know that we are grateful to God because He has offered us something that we did not earn, that we did not deserve. We are servants of His. We are unworthy or unprofitable servants. Even when we do everything, it is still His grace that is bestowed upon us that we can be counted as His children, that we can have the inheritance that He has offered to us in heaven. So we need to have gratitude as we serve God. But what happens when we don't have gratitude? The Hebrew writer said there, we need to show gratitude so that we can offer to God an acceptable service. But what happens when we don't have gratitude? That we may still be serving God. We may still be going through the motions of all that, but we don't have gratitude. What does that lead to? Well, eventually, we start to resent the instructions that God has given us. We don't want to be restricted by those commands that He has given. We want to do what we want to do. This was the tactic that the devil used in the Garden of Eden when God had given Adam and Eve, placed them in the garden, given them everything that was there, but told them there is one tree in the garden that you are not to eat from it. The day that you eat from it, you're going to die, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But aside from that, they had access to everything else that was in the garden. What the devil comes and what he does in Genesis 3 says, "The serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" Well, that's not what God said. He said there was one tree. But he says, "Well, has He said you not eat any tree of the garden?" "The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" So there was one tree that they were not to eat from. Well, that's what the serpent wanted to focus on. He says, "Well, you aren't allowed to eat of that tree. Why would God withhold that from you? Why would He tell you not to eat from that tree?" And then questions God. It says, "The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die. For God knows that the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil.'" He is telling her those consequences that you think are there, they're not really there. Punishment, that's not really there. You don't need to worry about that. And in fact, God is depriving you of something that is good, that you will be like, your eyes will be opened, you'll be like God, you'll know good and evil. He is trying to withhold that from you. And so you'll be better off ignoring what God said and eating of this tree. That's what Satan does. That's what he continues to do. He tells us that, well, you don't have to, you know, those punishments that come and the consequences from, you don't have to worry about those. Those don't apply. And in fact, all of those things that you are missing out on, because you don't, you can partake in all of that, whether it's, you know, drinking or fornication or whatever it might be. You're missing out on all of these things. And God is withholding these things from you. And you could enjoy all of these things. That's what He did in the garden. That's what He continues to do today. We forget that God has given us these instructions for a reason. We forget the blessings that God has given us and all of the liberty that we have that we can do. The devil doesn't want us to think about that. He wants to think about what you can't do. And think about what you're missing out on because you are following God's instructions. So when we lack gratitude for God and what He has provided for us, then we start to resent those instructions. Well, that's too restrictive. We don't want to follow that. We're missing out on these things. And then to go to that passage that was read for us earlier in Psalm 37, we end up envying the wicked. Don't envy evildoers. Don't envy them and what they have and what they seem like they're able to enjoy in this life. It said that in verse 2, they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So don't worry about the others. Don't fret because of evildoers. Don't be envious of wrongdoers. Their time is limited. The wise man said in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 12 that even though the wicked man does evil 100 times, I know that it would be well for the ones who fear God and who fear Him openly. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 12. It is better to serve God. But when we lack gratitude, we're saying, well, look at how good it is for everyone out in the world. Look at what they are able to do. It seems like they're able to prosper, and they're not following these instructions. They're not following what God said. Why can't I just do that? When we lack gratitude, we start to look at those things rather than all the things that God has done and all the things He has provided and all the things that He has helped us to avoid. But then another way this manifests itself when we lack gratitude is that we do all these things, we follow what God has said, but then we become arrogant over how great we are because of our righteous behavior. This was the attitude of the Pharisees, and Jesus talked about this over in Luke chapter 18, where you had a parable that He gave of two people who went up to the temple to pray. He described a Pharisee and a tax collector. But why He was telling this parable, going back to verse 9 of Luke chapter 18, says He told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. He says, look, God, look at how great I am. I'm not like other people. Look at how good I am. The tax collector, verse 13, the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The Pharisee there, he said, well, look at how great I am. He wasn't thankful to God for the grace that He had given to him. He wasn't thankful for anything like that. He was saying, well, I'm thankful to that I'm not like other people. He was elevating himself and saying, well, look at how great I am. I'm not like these other people. Ignoring the fact that he also was a sinner who needed grace from God, who needed God to be merciful to him. Jesus said that tax collector who recognized that mercy or his need for God's mercy, he was the one who went to his house justified. Even if we perfectly obey the will of God, going back to what we noticed in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, even if we perfectly obey the will of God, we are still unworthy slaves. But when we lack gratitude, we're not thinking about the grace that God has extended to us. We're not thinking about how we are privileged and blessed to be able to have hope of eternal life. Instead, we're saying, well, look at how great I am. Look at everything that I've done. Look at how righteous I am, and God owes me this. When we lack gratitude, we end up with the mindset of the Pharisees, who would look down upon others and elevate themselves, thinking that God owed them something. So we have a responsibility to serve God. As we saw back in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. We have the privilege to be part of the kingdom of God. We have an obligation to serve Him with reverence and awe. But if we're going to serve Him acceptably, we have to show gratitude. We have to be thankful that He has given us His Word that shows us the direction to take, and not resent the instructions that are found in it because they restrict us from doing some things that we want to do. Be thankful that He's given us His Word that shows us the way to go. Be appreciative that we can avoid a lot of unnecessary hardships in this life. It doesn't mean that life will be perfect. We're going to face hardships, but we're going to avoid a lot of unnecessary trouble by doing what God said rather than going the way that we choose to go, the way that the world goes. You know, we need to be grateful for the privilege that it is to serve Him rather than boasting in our righteousness, thinking that God owes us something for our service. Paul said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve because we have all sinned. The wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we serve the Lord. We obey Him. We follow His will. But we have to do this with gratitude, recognizing the gift that He's given in His Word, recognizing the trouble that we avoid by following Him, and the grace that has been extended to us that we can be part of His kingdom, that we can have hope of eternal life. And as we close the lesson and extend the invitation, we want to invite anyone who is not yet a Christian to become one. You can be part of this kingdom. You can be part of that church. Jesus will save you. You can be added to the church by doing the same thing that people on the day of Pentecost did. They heard the gospel. They believed it. They repented of their sins. They were baptized into Christ. And they were added by God to the church. And that can happen today. We can help you do that today if that's what your need is. And if you've done that and have become a Christian, but you've allowed sin into your life, that you haven't served the Lord as you should and want to make correction, then you can repent before God and pray to Him and ask Him for forgiveness. But we also have the opportunity, if anyone needs the prayers and encouragement of the church here, then that is available too. We can pray with you and help you in any way we can. But whatever your need is, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.